To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Caleb did a good job getting me the ball early, and then I got to see the play to know exactly what I did. I don't know if I stopped and then like took off again, but just made something happen. Good play in the game, big play in the game.
That was DeAndre Swift talking about his 55-yard catch and run from Caleb Williams. Big touchdown, because at that point, the Commanders had just scored a touchdown of their own to take the lead, and they got the Bears within two. Bears couldn't convert on the two-point conversion, but didn't matter. Didn't matter. You want to know why? Because our guy Jake Moody came through in the clutch to kick the last-second field goal to give the Bears the victory, 25-24. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and, of course, Great Clips. And here's the rundown of tomorrow's guests, all right? Of today's guests on our Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday. I'm leading you up until 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. Of course, he is the executive producer of Mully and Haw, who will come on shortly after him. And they got some great guests. Olin Cruz jumps on at 7. Dave Wannstedt, 7:40. TJ Edwards, 9:30. Then Raheemi Harris and Grody. They got Patrick Manley at 11. Anthony Heron at 12:25. Tim Jenkins at 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes. Kurt Warner, 2:40. Matt Forte, 3 o'clock. And then Matt Bowen jumps on at 4. And we are taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Are you more impressed with DeAndre Swift's performance today? We just heard from him about his 55-yard catch and run. Or were you excited about the offensive play calling of Ben Johnson? The ability to put up points, lean on the run in that last drive that set him up for the game-winning field goal. Lots to talk about, but that's what an identity sounds like on the road, right? DeAndre Swift, he essentially was the engine tonight. Decisive, downhill finishing, of course, the 55-yard catch and run, and it really just flipped to fourth. Bears down 8 at that point. I think there was like 10, 11 minutes left. So to get the quick score, put the pressure back on the Washington Commanders. And you saw the line to scrimmage, the offensive line leaning. You saw linebackers overrun gaps because they had to respect the perimeter, right? And that's something that we anticipated with Theo Benedict being injected into that left tackle spot. You wanted someone that could hold the line against Dorrance Armstrong, the leading sack getter for the Washington Commanders. But then you gash them with design. That's ultimately what happened, right? If you can secure that left side, you can run your zone reads that a lot of people were calling in and talking about. Your screen game becomes a little bit more wide open. And suddenly the play action opens up for Caleb Williams as well. Couldn't connect on some of the bigger plays, which we would have liked. But this is the formula. Olin Krutz, again, who will be on with Mully and Haw at 7, during the post game talked about this being a repeatable game. A repeatable formula for the Chicago Bears, something that they could duplicate in order to stack victories, where the run game forces honesty from defenses instead of looking at it as an afterthought, right? Screens, angle routes, misdirections, some of the misdirections that Ben Johnson called, and the way they looked, the execution, flawless. in certain situations, despite the amount of yardage you were able to get away from it. It's the execution. It's keeping defenses off balance that allows for that. So, you know, the 25-24 win wasn't an accident, right? It was sequencing, something that happened over the course of the game. NFL games sometimes aren't pretty. And far too often over the last couple of seasons, the Bears have been on the other side of that victory last night, where they are the ones that are left sulking, thinking about games that that could have propelled them to the playoffs. But you give DeAndre Swift the keys and you let Caleb operate, you know, just with some rhythm, right? And that's when the explosive plays start to stack up. And Ben Johnson, if he wants a calling card for himself, this is it, right? I'm all in on DeAndre Swift. I liked him from the beginning. I just felt like he couldn't get his footing. But who was your player of the game? Who was the one that excited you? Was it DeAndre Swift? Was it a Roma Dunze? Was it a Caleb Williams? Maybe it was a Montez Sweat showing a little bit of life. I'd love to hear from you. 312-644-6767. The text line's open, but I'm curious to get your thoughts. So let's go out to the phone lines right now and talk to one of my favorites, Ben, out in Racine, Wisconsin. Talk to me about these Bears, Ben. What did you see?
Oh, I love them. I love them. I think that Caleb is a hell of a quarterback. He's a terrific quarterback. I can tell you that right now. He's going to be very, very good.
Yeah, what did you see from him last night that made you feel that way, Ben?
Oh, the fight in them after that. I thought, I never believed that they would win. I mean, how the hell did they win? And you listen to OB and these other old Bears like I am, okay, and they're right on target. You got to, you know, when you get a guy to a certain point, you got to go for the touch, you know. You got to put him out for good, like OB said in Hampton. Dave Hampton, you know?
Yeah, of course. You got to get in those situations. What did you think about Ben Johnson? This is a guy who I feel like is finally coming into his own, Ben, where he understands what the strengths of this team are, and he can utilize his offensive prowess to really get the best out of this squad.
Yeah, he's a very, very intelligent person. I got a lot of faith in Ben Johnson. I'll tell you that right now. Watch him. The people better watch him. He is very, very good. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get in the playoffs this year.
Ooh, the P word. The P word could be dangerous. But if you look at the upcoming schedule, you could stack some victories here.
Yeah, really. I hear you.
Yeah.
So
I like Ben Johnson. Okay. My thing with Ben Johnson is, and this is what I've liked about him from the beginning of this season, is that he has a level of confidence. And it's not just in his play calling or his own abilities. It's more so he feels as though he's prepared his team well enough to execute things at a high level. So,
in your
mind, when you're looking at, you know, Ben Johnson and what we were able to do, what the Bears were able to do today with DeAndre Swift, do you feel like that's the recipe for success to, you know, stay consistent and keep feeding DeAndre Swift the ball?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No question on my mind. The DeAndre Swift, I like him. He's a real go-getter himself. Those Bears, they just – when I heard that they won, I thought I was hearing things.
I believe you, Ben. But you know what it is?
Really?
This is the difference. The culture shift, Ben. There is a culture shift happening in real time. And it's not just with the Chicago Bears, the players, the coaches. It's also the fan base.
Oh, everybody.
It's the fan base,
everybody,
too, though,
yeah.
Right? Where we are constantly watching Bears games, waiting for something bad to happen. And it seems as though now we're waiting for the good thing to happen to us.
Yeah, we're waiting. I told somebody early this morning that I called up from my town over here. I told him, I said, I told you the Bears, they're going to be in the playoffs. Oh, you're nuts. I says, oh, yeah, watch and see.
Yeah, I believe it, Ben. Thanks for the call, Ben. I appreciate you checking in. As always, love hearing from you again. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. All my third shifters, all my early risers that are going to go work out. Maybe you were sleeping during that Bears game and you're just finding out. that the Bears got the victory 25-24 on a last-second Jake Moody off the practice squad field goal where he goes 4-for-5 on the day. One of the field goals attempts were blocked from 48 yards by Deron Payne. But, you know, to bounce back, to keep your brain in the game, that's what you saw there. Penalties, 9-for-84. You saw illegal formations take touchdowns off the board. A lot of downs in this game, but certainly some ups as well. And it made you feel good and confident about this Bears team. And let's not forget, listen, you could say that the Dallas Cowboys were a bad team that the Bears beat. You could say that, of course, the Las Vegas Raiders, not one of the better teams in the league, but you cannot discredit this Washington Commanders squad that made a deep playoff run last year. So again, curious, thoughts about this game? How you feeling after this victory and the future of the Chicago Bears team? 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez with you. Let's go back out to the phones. We got Don out from Oglesby. Don, what impressed you the most about this victory for the Chicago Bears?
The offensive line, especially Theo Benedict and Darnell Wright, those two guys were pulling and opening holes like they've been around forever.
It almost looked like a competent offensive line, right, Don?
Yes. Yes, it did. You know, it looks like they found the right guy to be on that left side.
I know. I got to be honest, and tell me if you felt the same way. I didn't mind Braxton Jones, and I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about the start of the season when they were trying to figure out who was going to be there. And I thought to myself, this is a guy that has, you know, 50 games under his belt. If they revamp the entire or the middle of the offensive line with Tooney, Jonah Jackson, for me, it felt like, yeah, just leave him there. He's been there already. But then, you know, when you saw
too inconsistent.
And you saw it. Ben Johnson had zero problem pulling Braxton Jones out in the middle of the game and taking his right tackle when Darnell Wright was out and moving him over right to the left so that Ajay Tripilla. I mean, it said so much about what he envisioned this offensive line to be.
Right. And it was just too inconsistent. I'm hoping Theo can get in there, stay consistent, do this day in and day out, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, because when you see him from British Columbia, you're like, we got a Canadian out here? You know? We got a maple syrup kid out here, really? But I loved it. I loved the tenacity, right? And I was talking to some of my fellow coworkers on CHSN, Ruthie Polinsky to be specific, and she was telling me that, you know, during camp, what you saw from Theo Benedict was a guy who wanted it, right? And granted, most people want to be in the NFL. They want to play hard. But he was a guy that was seeking out information, trying to find out how he can get better every day. And I think that's what made Ben Johnson gravitate towards him. So let me ask you this, Don. How do you feel about Ben Johnson, right, coming into this game and leaning on an undrafted free agent in Theo Benedict to protect Caleb Williams' blind side? That says a lot about Ben Johnson.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you know, I think they found a diamond in the rough with Theo Benedict, and I think Ben Johnson realizes that.
Right, because it's not only protecting Caleb Williams, you're also getting the run game to work. What did you think about DeAndre Swift and his performance today?
Oh, wow, that was incredible tonight, you know. I mean, but again, it comes down to the offensive line. They were opening holes that you could drive a bus through.
Yeah.
He had the vision to find those holes and go through them.
Yeah, and I think also Ben Johnson, right, with the play calling. Not only was – listen, he understood, hey, DeAndre Swift can't run him through the tackles 10 times a game, right? I got to get him on the outside. Got to get a halfback toss in there. And you saw him. You saw DeAndre Swift with the ability to beat guys to the edge.
Yeah, yep. But we knew that about him, that he was better on the edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean – That's where he thrives, is out on the edge.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift, 2 catches, 67 yards on the day. Of course, the big touchdown for 55 yards. And you're going to have to lean on DeAndre Swift if you want to win games. The issue for the Bears is who is going to spell DeAndre Swift. He had 14 carries on the day. Not a ton. But when you're looking at the secondary backs, Kyle Manungai only had 5. Roshan Johnson got his first crack at a rush. here, one for 6 yards. It was good to at least see him back on the field, but there's no real true change of pace back. But you loved Kyle Manungai being out there again. Kyle Manungai drafted 12 slots ahead of Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. 12. So, you know, maybe he had a chip on his shoulder as well, wanting to prove that he was, you know, equally as good or deserving of being on a roster and performing at a high level. And, you know, I thought a couple of his runs were great, but I want to know what you thought. What did you think of this offense? How was the performance on D? Obviously, there's three takeaways, but certainly some costly penalties on defense, specifically on third downs that could have costed this team greatly. The defensive back, some blown coverages, not only by Tyrique Stevenson. Kyler Gordon on his first game back, giving up the first touchdown. I mean, it looked bad in certain instances. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday. Brought to you by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Let's go out to Chris on the road. Now, Chris, you said you were at the game last night?
I was at the game, yeah.
All right. Are you the one that was texting in right now saying you were driving back home?
Yeah, I'm driving back home to New York right now.
Oh, man. All right. So talk to me about the game and what you saw from your vantage point about the refs specifically.
Man, as a lifelong Bears fan, I always feel like we're on the bad end of things, like when it comes to these refs. And then you find out that I heard Olin Kreutz earlier talking about how this referee crew is known for this type of stuff. It's bad enough to know, like, the odds are already against you. You're always the underdog. No one has any faith in you except for, like, your fan base. And even then, it's hard because of, like, the way things have been. But it was just so hard to watch. And some of these calls, these refs, in my opinion, you know, if you want to sit there and penalize a player for not wearing the proper socks with his uniform or something dumb like that, hit these refs with some of these calls that they make that are just blatantly awful.
Yeah, a lot of people had complaints about the refs. I know, talk to me about the Bears fans. You know, in the pregame, people were talking about that the Washington Commanders wanted it to be a blackout. They wanted everyone to wear black or something like that. But there were a lot of Bears fans in the stands.
I actually made a comment because I went with my son, and I made a comment to him, and I said, I actually think there's more Bears fans here than there are Washington fans. We travel so well. It's amazing how much the fan base loves this team. And look, I give mad props to Swift tonight. That dude balled. He balled out hard. He was so fast to watch him on the field tonight. That guy, without him, obviously tonight, it wouldn't happen. He put everything into that game.
Yeah, I mean, from the 55-yard touchdown that got the Bears back within striking distance to the, you know, game-winning drive where essentially Ben Johnson said, we're going to ride DeAndre Swift to this field goal, and he's going to take us there. And he kept on getting first down after first down. It was really impressive to see a guy who a lot of people have been down on, right? Reporters asking for trades to be made to bring in another running back. For him to still have the confidence in himself that to know that he's capable, and Ben Johnson to have that in him as well, right? Because one thing that I was saying on the last victory, Chris, against the Raiders, you know, that last drive was 11 plays against the Raiders. Six of those plays were runs. Ben Johnson didn't abandon the run despite, you know, only averaging 2-point-something yards a carry. He still said, no, I think DeAndre could still do it, or at least we're just not going to abandon it and make Caleb throw the ball 40 times. And so for him to come into this game, right, against a team that was leading the league in rushing, the Commanders were the number one rushing team in the National Football League, and Ben Johnson said, a mí no me importa, I don't care. I'm going to go out here and show you that we got the same, or we got an equivalent running game, and DeAndre Swift's going to come through. It was really great to see.
Yeah, I mean, look, these guys are professionals. When you start, they hear everything. They know what's being said. They're gonna take that. They're gonna put it in their back pocket, and then they're gonna come in on a day like tonight, and you know, and show everybody.
Yeah,
I can make I can do the muscle run. Like, you know, and props to the O-line, too. Those guys were great. And, you know, I just, in my opinion, a very well-rounded game by the whole team.
Yeah, it makes you feel good about the future of the Bears, right? Not even just for this season. I'm not trying to say the P word or anything like that, playoffs. But it makes you feel good about the direction they're headed in.
Absolutely, because I think I'm probably on the more realistic of the fan base. But I've been saying that the ceiling for this team all year is probably 7-8 wins.
You still feel that way? You still feel that way?
I do. I'm going back down to Washington play Baltimore in a couple weeks. I think that's going to be a real true test, even though I know Baltimore does not look good right now.
All right, Lamar Jackson's out, too, so you don't know if he's going to be back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just still feel like the ceiling for us is 8 wins this year.
We'll see. They have a favorable schedule coming up, the next couple of opponents. So, I mean, we'll take a look. But, hey, you enjoy yourself with your kid. Keep giving him great memories. I got 3 kids of my own, and as long as you're doing that, these are core memories for the rest of his life. So I appreciate you doing that as well, man. Chris, have a great ride home, and be safe, all right?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Of course. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you live and local until 5 o'clock on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. But listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, right? I mean, the game had too many penalties. We all saw it, whether it was on the offensive side or the defensive side of the ball, the illegal formation that wiped out a touchdown. You know, you add in the blocked field goal, and I mean, I think we all felt that we were prepped for a letdown, right? Like, oh, here we go again. Bears come out early, put some points on the board. The defense is going to get tired. Jane Daniels is going to, you know, curate some amazing drive at the very end. But here's where it matters, right? They didn't let the noise become the story. That's what this Bears did differently, right? They played situational football. They corrected their mistakes. And they made Washington's mistake, that final one, really a damning one, right? And really allow them to get to that. And that's what growth is when you're thinking about this Bears squad. That's why, you know, for the second straight game, they win 25-24 on the road.
I was just about to ask you, Gabe, yeah. Has Ben Johnson officially killed the same old Bears narrative?
No. We're not there yet.
What will it take for that to happen?
Same old Bears. You have to do this consistently, because this is what good teams do. Good teams find a way to win despite 9 penalties for 80-something yards.
So throughout the whole season?
Throughout the season. You cannot. This is the NFL. What you do, you could win a. Look at the Buffalo Bills, right? Like, even they said it, right? They asked Josh Allen, "Are you the standard in the AFC?" He said, "No, the Chiefs are," right? And he understands that he has to. And after the game last night, he was right, right? You saw what the Chiefs did to the Detroit Lions. So same old, but I've been mentioning it throughout the show, right? And it is that the culture is not only changing within the organization, right, with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and what's going on in the locker rooms, on the practice field, but it's also the fan base. You know, I mentioned pitting the Bears fans up against the other sports teams in the city, whether it be the Cubs, the Blackhawks, etc. And, you know, the Bears, myself included, right, as a Bears fan, you're always waiting for something bad to happen. You're like, all right, Bears are winning now, but look, they're going to give up the touchdown, right? So it's even a culture shift within the fan base. And that's something that's going to take some time. We're feeling good now, but don't have it be a letdown in this trap game against the New Orleans Saints, because then it will be the same old Bears, right? But if they win handily by 10, you're going to be like, oh, damn. And then they win the next. You know what I mean? Like, I need more than just a couple of games for me to say that Ben Johnson's changing the narrative on this thing. But he's headed in the right direction, right? The pre-snap stuff, you didn't see a bunch of false starts today like you had normally seen, right, from the offensive line. You didn't see a bunch of holding calls like you had seen in the last couple of games. So certain things changing, discipline's, you know, improving. But, you know, you got to continue to tighten things up. It shows you what this Bears team can be, and that is very good. If they had Jalen Johnson, if they're healthy, this could be a very good Bears team. If Caleb Williams, even himself, well, again, a lot of times there were moments in the game where he looked like he was trying to put the team on his back. And that's not necessarily something that he has to do. He can, he is good enough to have a sustained drive that eats up the clock and that at the end puts points on the board.
I really liked your point game or point guard reference earlier.
Yeah, that's Ben Johnson's. I stole that from Ben Johnson. Be a point guard, don't be a shooting guard.
Because he thinks he has to take that game-winning shot nearly every single throw. It's the NFL.
Even more so when he's going up against Jaden Daniels, right? The one, like he said in his postgame that we just played, I love going up against guys like that. I can't wait to have more battles because he brings out the best in people. But best believe, he knows that Jaden Daniels is on the other side, and he did not want to lose that game. But you know what? I want to know what you had to say, not only about our QB1, but about the rest of the Bears' performance. You saw some snafus on the defensive side of the ball, but you also saw some good on the offensive line. The trenches looked good for the Chicago Bears team. What are your thoughts after the victory as the Bears take down the Commanders 25-24? 312-644-6767. Your calls on the other side following a great Bears victory. Again, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I am Gabe Ramirez, and your calls on the other side right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So close, you had the ball in your possession. It's kind of uncharacteristic for your quarterback to lose the ball. What do you tell him after a game like this?
Yeah, honestly, it wasn't just that play. You know, like there's plenty in there to go, and you know, we just didn't regard it like we can. You know, and so that's the lesson, and it stings, and we've got to grow from them, and like you just, you know, have to make sure we're taking our spaces to go. Definitely a play we'd want back. Man, he's like, you know, incredible player who makes plays, and so it sucks. But you know, like in his space, like he's gonna make way more than he isn't. But tonight, that one stinks.
It's Dan Quinn talking about the loss. It's interesting because I think the Bears could point to several different moments where they could have lost the game, or it could have been reasons for losing the game. And when you're thinking about the Commanders, I mean, the early interception from Jaden Daniels, that was his first one of the season. His first one of the season. And, you know, I talked about it on on the Chicago Lead on CHSN, that, you know, that was something that the Bears were going to have to do, be a disruptor, the defensive line, be a disruptor. And Jaden Daniels, it looks like he just missed Deebo Samuel on that one. Who, Deebo Samuel, by the way, didn't have his best game. One rush for minus 1 yard. Had four receptions for 15 yards. That is horrible. And this is someone who, you know, the game before, you know, performed at a very high level. But there's that, the, you know, Kroski Merritt fumble, forced fumble by Montez Sweat. And then, of course, the Jaden Daniels. I mean, he fumbled before that last one on 3rd-and-1 during the handoff. He fumbled on a scramble and got so lucky that the ball bounced right back up to him. That was so lucky. But, you know, again, moments like that happened throughout the game. And fortunately, the Bears were able to come out victorious. 25-24 for the second straight game. The Bears were able to win 25-24. That's the exact same score against the Las Vegas Raiders, which is wild to say the least. But three straight victories for the Bears. 3-2. You walk out of D.C. with a walk-off, and you essentially flip the script that's hung over this franchise for years now. Late game chaos, whether it's the defense allowing points or the inability to score a touchdown late in the game, right? Last year, this matchup hurt would be an understatement. This one lingered, led to the demise of the Bears, the firing of Matt Eberflus, the Tyreek Stevenson. Oh my gosh, just everybody beat him up. But the locker room's learning how to close, right? Where you saw leaders emerge in this game. DeAndre Swift accepting his role as the lead back and really just proving that he's capable of not only taking the ball out of the backfield, but being a weapon in the passing game. Then Caleb, right? Keeping the ship steady. The defense, creating turnovers when it mattered. Special teams, Jake Moody going 4-for-5 despite the blocked field goal. So, you know, you can call it luck, but I would say it's a new learned behavior by this Chicago Bears team. It feels like a mindset shift, and I've talked about this a lot throughout the show, where it's not just the team, but a mindset shift for the fan base as well, right? So I'm curious what you're thinking right now. The phone lines are open. If you were off the bandwagon, tonight's the one that made you, you know, you might not be all the way back on, because if you were a naysayer, you've been one on Caleb or the offense or whatever it is. But you might be, you know, like one of those floats in Mardi Gras. You might just be on the side, you know, just like hanging on. Like, oh, this is kind of cool float right here. I like this, you know. This might be it. But again, Bears get the victory. Interested in your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Some other news coming out of this game is that, you know, you saw DJ Moore, if you watched the game, there were a couple instances where he was just wincing coming off the field. And a texter chimed in and was like, he winces every game when he's coming off the field, which is funny because it's true. But this one's a little different. Why? Because after the game, DJ Moore took an ambulance to a local hospital, just precautionary measures, they're saying, at least in the present. Antoine Randle-L, the assistant head coach, he took the ride with DJ Moore to the hospital. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that to see how he fared in this one. But, you know, he had himself a game, DJ Moore. 3 catches, 42 yards on 5 targets. I mentioned DeAndre Swift with the 2 catches for 67 yards with that big 55-yarder for the touchdown. Luther Burden, 4 catches for 51 yards on the day. Looked good out there. Roma Dunze, poor whoever had them on his fantasy team. 2 catches, 32 yards in this one. Had the touchdown called back.
Yeah, should have had that touchdown.
That was a tough one. Kyle Manunga had 1 big catch for 25 yards. Alamide Zaccheaus. Didn't that one hurt on 2nd and 16?
Bad drop.
And he had, when they showed the play from the wider angle, he had nothing but space.
He totally did.
Well, this is the problem, right? It's almost like the boy who cried wolf, where it's like, you know, you say wolf, the wolf's not there, and then you kind of just stop paying attention to the kid. Twice, Caleb Williams tried to lead Alamide Zaccheaus. You remember what I'm talking about? Where he tried to lead him, and then like Alamide tried to settle in the zone, and then Caleb was like, no, keep running. Like, I'm trying to lead you. So the ball would go out to his left.
First possession, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, he caught one, and then one was a bad throw, but he caught one on the first, got a first down.
I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then the second one, Alamide dropped it. So this one, he was actually hit him in stride on the 2nd and 17, and the drop was just heartbreaking, especially because the play after that was for like 14 yards and put him in the 4th and 2 situation. So that was a tough one, but I love Alamide Zaccheaus. Obviously, he was going up against his former team as well, former commander last year. He played a big role on that team. When you were talking about, of course, Terry McLaurin, who didn't play last night, and Alamide, they had themselves a time last year. And then Colston Loveland, 3 targets, 2 catches for 11 yards, and then Cole Kmet, 1 catch for 0 yards. Just I wonder how he's feeling.
Yeah, he had that other one called back that went for
for the first down.
It was the wrong offsides call initially by the refs.
Just couldn't understand what happened. That was the play right before the Alameda Zacchaeus one. On the defensive side, of course, Kyler Gordon recovering one fumble from the one that Montez Sweat actually caused. I thought T.J. Edwards was the one that got it, but it ended up being Kyler Gordon. And then Nashawn Wright on the most pivotal fumble of the game, the mishandling of the snap between, of course, Jaden Daniels and J.C.M. Nashawn ended up landing on that one. On the defensive side of the ball, Javon Dexter Sr. credited with a sack and a half. Dominique Robinson got the other one there. Dominique Robinson got called with a penalty as well on a kickoff, I believe. And that cost the Bears a nice return. Tackles for losses, Kevin Byard had one. I think that was the one on Deebo Samuel, as did Nashawn Wright. Shamar Turner getting moved to the interior with the injury to Grady Jarrett. Got himself a tackle for a loss as well. Pass deflections. Nashawn Wright, keeps saying his name, had one along with Montez Sweat. That was a big one. Got his paw out on the outside. I think it was part of their game plan for Montez to not allow Jaden to get to the outside, because on that pass deflection and on that one play where Jaden juked Montez Sweat and ended up running up the middle, you know, that one was one as well. Javon Dexter and Dominique Robinson, obviously, with the quarterback hit. Jaquan Brisker with the pass deflection as well. So the defense, you know, and Jaquan with the interception, of course, which was major. The defense played a solid game.
I was going to ask, who's your defensive player of the game? Just because they gave up some chunk plays. They got a couple turnovers. But was there a standout?
Yeah, I mean, listen, giving up chunk plays would be an understatement, because it was three big touchdowns on three big plays, right? I mean, the Kyler Gordon missed pass there, and then of course the McCaffrey touchdown where he was just wide open. Just some missed moments right there. But I guess on defense, I'm gonna go ahead and say Montez Sweat. You know, you come in, you have a chip on your shoulder. He was creating pressure.
I forgot, against his former team.
Against his former team. So I think he did a number on his old squad, but this was a team effort all the way around. You needed everyone. You needed, obviously, your special teams and Jake Moody, not only to hit the game winner, but to go 4-for-5 after coming up in the practice squad, after being cut by the San Francisco 49ers, coming on this team, not necessarily sure you're going to get any tick. Cairo goes down, and to step up, you know, a lot of people were talking, ourselves included, yesterday on the Chicago Lead, myself, David Hall, and Ruthie Polinsky, we were talking about the fact that Ben Johnson might have been more inclined to go for it on fourth down because he had Jake Moody as opposed to a Cairo Santos. But Jake Moody has a bigger leg. So, you know, I love the fact that, you know, and it goes back to Ben Johnson and his believability in his players, right? He is extremely confident in what he's doing, and he has a job to do, and he feels that way about his players. You have a job to do as well. And if I call on you, I expect you to execute. But what did you think? Who are your MVPs? What are the standouts for you when it comes to this big victory for the Chicago Bears? 25-24 on the road in the revenge game, despite what Caleb and Ben Johnson, this was a revenge game. And the Bears ended up coming out on top. Dan Quinn, the head coach for the Washington Commanders, said this one stung. But I want to hear what you had to say. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open right now, so let's go out to them. Let's go to Matthew on the west side. Matthew, good to hear from you again, brother.
Hey, Gabe, what's going on, my man? Good to hear from you, too.
You already know. What'd you think about this game, man? I know you're enjoying your Victory Tuesday.
Hey, first and foremost, I wanted to say thank you. I took my sister and her fiancé, and we had a great time, my brother. So you know what I'm talking about. I appreciate it a lot. That's big man status. I appreciate it.
You talking about to the fire match?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I hooked him up with some tickets because I told him, I said I'd take care of him. And I'm glad you went, man. That's what's up. All right, so what'd you think about this game?
Hey, Dave, you already know. Great win. What'd I tell you about the man? Dre Day Payday. I told you the man was going to come through. he had a great game. He had a great game. But one thing, or two things, real quick, Gabe, I want to run past you.
No, you're good.
Before,
take your time.
Before halftime, man, they gave the Commanders the ball back with a punt. Like, You, you, go for a shot or run the ball and take all the time out until if you can get in the field goal range or not. But don't give them the ball back with around a minute left at the half. Thank God they kneeled it. You know what I mean?
Well, again, they only got it back with 20 seconds left. It was 19 seconds left.
Okay, I heard you. I heard you.
You know what I'm saying? 19 seconds.
Oh, man,
left.
The defense too gave those three takeaways. Those that's part of defense. That's earned. Those aren't just fait accompli. Those are earned. So big ups to the defense. They did a great job keeping that offense back in the keeping the offense in the game the whole time.
They looked motivated, right? Back. Don't you agree, Matt? I felt like they looked motivated, or like they felt like everybody was talking trash about the defense and the inability to come through, but they were dealing with some injuries, and then they finally came back, not full strength, but of course Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards come back, and those guys made a difference.
100%. But TJ Edwards reminds me of Briggs. He just reminds
no,
me he got that Briggs.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't
no,
do that.
No. 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 Okay, I heard you.
Mance Briggs is another level.
I heard you. That's my man. That's my man, though. He put the pound town on. But TJ Edwards came back. He did look good tonight. Brisker looked great tonight as well, putting some hits on him.
Yeah. What's your confidence like about this team, you know, moving forward, right? We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, you got to find ways to win in the NFL, and the Bears did that last night.
The O-line played great. I think they can take the Saints. They can take on the Saints. Let's just get that dub out the way. We'll take on Baltimore after their bye, right?
Yeah.
If they have Lamar back, I mean, so be it. Let's just put it to it. We got what we got right now, and we're building something. We're building successful. You know, we're taking 10 steps forward. We're not taking 5 steps back. You know what I mean?
That right there is the statement of all statements, right? Is that they're building something, right? And we see the foundation of it, whether it's Ben Johnson and his decisive play calling, whether it's Caleb Williams and his ability to put up points in the last 2 or 3 minutes of halves, his sustained drives, the run game coming up, the offensive line finally getting figured out. Like, there's things that you see, like it's like he got a big stew, you know, like a big chili that's cooking, and it's finally, he's tasting it, add a little salt. Like, and it's, I feel like it's coming into its own, but you're right. You got to handle business against the Saints and the teams that are coming after that.
Absolutely, no doubt. I mean, we all like the flaming young, you know, nice and tender, but sometimes you need it. You know, let it stew a little bit. You know, chili needs love too. You know, mm-hmm. And at the same time too, Caleb did have points tonight where, you know, he just missed on people. You know, he just missed on Zaccheaus. He just missed on Rome downfield. He was just missing them. And DJ had a good game, even though it wasn't at the end it wasn't healthy. But at the same time too, like you said, Gabe, we building something positive, and let's go.
I love it, Matthew. Thanks for the call, man.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And appreciate you checking in as always, brother.
Always, Gabe. Take it easy, Papa.
I got you, man. All right. Bears take down the Washington Commanders 25-24. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score, taking your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. So here's a rundown of what's going on today on 670 The Score. So I'm hanging out with you till 5 o'clock, a little over an hour, still taking your phone calls. And, of course, I'm leading you right into the pregame show with Dustin Rhodes, the executive producer of Mully and Haw. And the guy's got a great lineup for you, man. Olin Krutz is going to be jumping on the show today at 7 o'clock. I love his insights. And then Dave Wannstedt is going to be hanging out at 7:40. Brad Biggs is coming on at 8:25. And then TJ Edwards, who, of course, Matthew is a big fan of. He'll be on the show, Matthew. I know you're listening. Set the alarm, 9:30 a.m. He'll be on with Mully and Haw. It'll be interesting to see what he had to say about his first game back in a while. Then Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. They got three guests for you as well. Patrick Manley is going to join the trio at 11 o'clock. Anthony Heron will jump on at 12:25. And then Tim Jenkins will jump on at 1. Then last but not least, Spiegel and Holmes. They got three really good ones. Kurt Warner, the quarterback whisperer, jumping on at 2:40. Then Matt Forte, former Chicago Bears running back, is going to hang out at 3 o'clock. And then ultimately, Matt Bowen wrapping things up for everyone at 4 o'clock. Now, Matthew pointed out something else. Of course, DJ Moore left in an ambulance from the game. So he's going to be staying the night in D.C. for precautionary medical attention. Herb Howard, I saw him reporting on that. Antoine Randle-L rode with him in the ambulance. So you saw him wincing in a couple of moments. First, it was his back on a particular play. It looked like he hit his knee, but I think his back, maybe he might have landed awkwardly. And then another play after that, you saw him literally like on his knees on the sidelines. So I wonder if it's I'm not going to speculate on what it could be. We'll just get more updates as the day goes on. Not only are we going to have great guests for you here on 670 The Score, but I assure you, we will have updates on what is going to be happening or what has happened to DJ Moore. But, you know, who's going to spell him? Luther Burden, which would be great. And, of course, the wide receiver group had themselves a day last night in this one. Of course, I'm talking about DeAndre Swift, 2 catches, 67 yards. Luther Burden, 4 catches for 51. DJ Moore, 3 catches for 42 yards on 5 targets. Roma Dunze, on his 5 targets, just 2 catches for 32 yards. Of course, he had the touchdown callback with the illegal formation. Kyle Manungai had a catch for 25 yards. Alamide Zaccheaus had 2 for 24. Colston Loveland, 2 catches for 11. And then Cole Kmet, 1 catch for 0 yards in this one. But, you know, Matthew mentioned the defense in this one. Again, taking your call, 312-644-6767. But the defense, I mean, took some punches and still ultimately ended up deciding this game, right? I mean, Washington found themselves some touchdowns. You saw Jaden Daniels' first touchdown over 20 yards on the season. It was a great throw. I mean, Kyler Gordon was there, just didn't necessarily think the ball was going to be heading his way, but it did. And then the Bears turned takeaways into points, right? The Jaquan Brisker interception led to 3 points. And then late, of course, the fumble during the handoff between Jaden Daniels and JCM just swung everything, right? Ripped the ball out and just, or excuse me, ripped the hearts out in that moment. You heard Dan Quinn, the head coach, talking how much it stung. But it's plays like that, right? The complimentary football you need. You bend, don't break. And that's ultimately what you wanted. You answer with the play when it matters the most. And how many times have we begged for that as Bears fans, right? To be on the opposite end. It's 3rd and 1, and you're just like, gosh, I wish we could just have something happen. And you're like, fumble? Fumble Ruski? Fumbleia? No way. And it did. And even then, I'll be honest, I'm curious what you thought, Baby T. I know you said you were watching with your family, Tyler Ferengall producing today. Even when the Bears got the ball back and they ran the ball those first two plays, I was like, what the hell are they doing? What are they doing?
I've never seen a 2-minute drive be ran like that where they're solely depending on the run.
It's like you could feel the momentum almost pivot where I was like, oh no, we got the ball back. The momentum was in the Bears' favor. And then all of a sudden, the two runs happen and you're like, what is happening?
Yeah, I don't know what was more surprising, them being so committed toward it or it working as well as it did.
Well, the 3rd down play, right? And that's where you really have to tip your cap to Ben Johnson after a game like that. The play design was amazing. You see Roma Dunze on a fade route, but trailing right behind him was Colston Loveland. And so if you're the defenders, which they had one on both side of them, you have to say the assumption is that this is a deep play. You got to respect Romo Dunze. So when Colston Loveland turns it in to a hook, excuse me, when he turns it into that five and in and makes that turn and the ball's right there and you're like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what you should be doing on third and five. And that's the exact play you got. So, I mean, just great all the way around. Right. When you're thinking about this Bears game, but curious your thoughts, you know, because you couldn't talk about the defense and the three turnovers. You could talk about the offense and DeAndre Swift or Caleb Williams leading the team down again, or maybe even mention and shout out the special teams. Jake Moody going 4 for 5 today, even though one of them been blocked, but the 38-yard walk off for the victory. But who was your MVP? What stood out to you during this big victory that's giving you a happy Tuesday, a Plumbers 911 football Tuesday, or a Monday on a Tuesday, presented by BC Bank and Great Clips. All right, we're going to take your calls on the other side. 312-644-6767. Your thoughts on this Bears victory next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.